Good evening. I'd like to welcome you to the Amick County Board of Commissioners meeting for April 18th, 2024, and ask you please rise for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Aarons?
Here.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Here.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Here.
Commissioner Loftbaum?
Here.
Commissioner White?
Here.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Here.
Commissioner Mapes?
Here.
Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda, Commission, is the approval of the agenda. I'm looking for a motion to approve as presented.
What's your wish?
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second. You can pick. Any discussion on the motion that's on the floor? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same side. Next is the approval of the April 8th, 2024 meeting minutes.
I'll make the motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same side. We're now to the part of the agenda for public comment, our first public comment. Anyone wishing to address the board, please come forward. You have 3 minutes. Please state your name. Second call for anyone wishing to come forward to address the board. Seeing no one coming forward, we are now to our appearances. The Northern Lakes Economic Alliance, Mr. Boyer, please.
I'd like to introduce Peyton Himes, the new president of the NLEA. She's here to give us an update.
Peyton, welcome.
Thank you. Good evening. Peyton Himes, the new president of Northern Lakes Economic Alliance. Thank you. It's a pleasure to meet all of you, especially just in my first few months in the job. I hear you will be attending our Northern Lakes Economic Symposium and Showcase, so excited to have you there as well. This evening, I'm going to share very briefly our 2023 county report and also share a few of the activities that have started in 2024 as well. And we're happy to answer any questions. I have one staff person with me this evening to help answer any specific questions you may have on various projects. But I will start with a very brief introduction of our services and happy to go from there. NLEA is proud to serve as your economic development organization, serving as a resource to communities and businesses across Emmett County. As your economic development organization, we provide a variety of services to businesses and communities, ranging from writing and packaging grant applications to support redevelopment projects and business expansions, to data analysis and business intelligence, to direct support to businesses to support their success and growth. These services are provided by a core team of economic development professionals with backgrounds in planning, real estate, development, policy, and more. And we serve at the direction of a 26-member board, which includes five appointed members from Emmett County. And our board serves as an additional resource with extensive experience and background to support our service delivery to communities and businesses. So it's a great asset. In the last 5 years, NLEA projects have helped to support the creation of more than 1,300 jobs in Emmett County, as well as help to support direct public and private investment, around $24 million in direct investment. We've provided a variety of services in the 2023 report, and those are detailed in your packet. But just to briefly highlight a few, we supported direct business outreach, connecting businesses to different resources throughout the year. We helped secure a federal grant for an Emmett County business, We supported a regional outdoor recreation industry survey to really understand what's happening with our outdoor recreation-related businesses and how they're expanding. And we provided business education and data support to different businesses as well as different community partners. We also served local units of government across the county, providing capacity support and direct project support. This ranged from ongoing support to the Brownfield Redevelopment Authority, ongoing support to Mackinac Village EDC, community education, direct project consulting on a variety of development opportunities, and, of course, grant application packaging and administration to further projects. Early in 2024, some of the things that we've been working on or have planned include with a new MEDC grant, we will be able to expand our direct business outreach and better connect more businesses, small businesses across the county to additional resources. So we're excited about that. We'll continue spotlighting Emmett County businesses in our statewide and regional conferences, one being the Northern Lakes Economic Alliance Symposium. And we will, of course, continue to support local government capacity and specific development projects as those come up, whether that's direct grant support or project consulting. And earlier this year, we were able to support a congressional district spending ask for the Pelston Airport PFAS remediation project. So that's just a very quick snapshot. I know you have more detail in your packets, but I'm more than happy to help answer any questions you may have. And again, I have staff here as well that can speak to some different projects. So thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Any questions? Go ahead.
Can you talk, and I know you've been in the job 2 months now, but I think a lot when we went through the interview process was talking long-term about looking at NLEA and the services that we provide and looking at strategic planning and moving that forward. Do you want to, can you just highlight that a little bit?
Sure. Yes, I would be happy to. So we are planning on kicking off a strategic planning process for the organization starting actually next month. It will be roughly a six-month process, and different from what we've done in the past, we really want to prioritize not just an internal look at the organization and talking with staff and talking with the board, but also engaging community members, engaging each of our counties in that process to really hear from you what the priority needs are so that we can shape our services moving forward and be as strategic and supportive as possible. So we're excited. It'll be a lot of work, but it's long overdue, and we're excited to get that project going. So we will have a 3-year strategic plan starting in 2025.
Thank you. Any other questions? One comment I've received from a few people were that with our beautiful Little Traverse Bay and the plethora of cruise ships now on the Great Lakes, it would be nice if they came into the bay and tendered either the Harbor Springs or Petoskey. It's a floating hotel, so you don't have to worry about anything but people bringing money. Just throw that idea out.
I will write that down. Thank you.
So they are trying very hard in Mackinac to expand that dock and be able to do it there also.
Since I had a friend who found out that between 15,000 to 20,000 to do a Great Lakes cruise. So they're coming with some cash.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Peyton. All right. Mr. Boyer, you're next.
I updated you on our staffing report right now. We have 4 openings. I think with EMS we always have openings, so we're looking for folks in there. But you'll see we have 4 openings there. The prosecutor position was filled. The judges made a decision on that and put Mike into that position, so he moved up as the chief, and then they are backfilling with Stu Fenton, the chief prosecuting attorney. So the prosecutor is set. He will have to run come this this November. He'll run for that open seat, so he's appointed to that time. I put in there on our Parks and Recreation, had a nice article about dark sky parks. So if you get an opportunity, please take a look at that. A very nice article talking about dark skies and talking about the headlands. EMS, I just talked about the Assure program, and that's a way for folks that need ambulance service that might not have insurance or might need ambulance service more than a couple times a year. This is a great service that they can pay in advance and not get stuck with large bills. Give you a little bit of update. You all received the inspection report from the building department. We're down just a bit in overall building permits, about 5% compared to last year, but remember our last few years have been record years for us here. We do have a few proposals out right now. Bay Bluffs, we have painting, and there's another one going out for furniture for Apple Blossom. And third-party administration for the Chill Grant. We had wrote the Chill Grant. We have an administrator to run the program, and everything was approved. And we found out last week that we have to put that contract out to bid. So that is out to bid, so it will come back to us, I think, at the next meeting, hopefully,
in May.
And then I also included a shot from the Headlands Park and what they were able to shoot with a telescope. And I know it doesn't come out as well on that little piece of paper, but it's an incredible photo. That is my report, because tonight you have your committee reports.
Keeping in the report mode, Finance Director.
All right, so I'm just going to go over a few things on here. You have the report in your packet. Revenues are at 4% of budget, and expenditures are at 19%. You'll notice that on the page that shows the dollar amount, can you go up there and go, Tatum? You'll see it has $4,851,000, where last year it was $2,891,000. That is because there were three pays in February this year and not last year. So overall, our numbers are right on target for where we're at. So I'm pleased with how well the budget's going so far in the last 2 months. Is there any questions on the budget?
Questions for Mrs. Gibson? Seeing none, thank you. Mm-hmm. We have no unfinished business. Next, we have claims in committee and travel vouchers.
Mr. Chair, I move the payment of the claims in the amount of $2,080,551.56 and for payment of the committee and travel vouchers in the amount of $1,145.48.
I'll second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnips?
Yes.
Commissioner Aaron?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Koontz?
Yes.
Motion carries. Now into new business. First item on the agenda of our new business is the fair contract for the Monster Truck Throwdown LLC.
This is one of our events that we have at the fair each year. I don't know how many years. It's the 12th year that they've been at the fair. It's a great event. We normally fill the bleachers up, and it's a great family event. Please remember to bring earplugs. The cost for the show is $36,500, and it's going to be held Thursday, August 24th, and proceeds from the ticket sale offset the cost of this event.
Commissioner?
It's very popular. Chair, I moved to board approve the attached agreement in the amount of $36,500 with Monster Truck Throwdown to provide Monster Truck Show on August 24th and August 25th, 2024, and authorize the administrator to sign the same.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion regarding the Monster Truck Throwdown? Hearing none, roll call.
Commissioner Koontz?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Motion carried. Next item, Commissioner, is the Fair Liquor License application.
This is a temporary liquor license for the fair starting Tuesday, August 20th, and it runs through Saturday, August 24th. There is a tent that's set up in a designated area at the fairgrounds. The proceeds from the sales of beer and wine help offset all the different events that we have, and it over the last several years has been a great source of revenue to help offset the cost of the fair. It certainly pays for the tent itself, the entertainment tent, and it also provides an opportunity for people in the grandstands or at the concerts to be able to come in and have a beverage before the show starts.
Any questions or a motion?
Mr. Chair, I'll make the motion. I move that the board approve the attached special license application and certified resolution of support for submission of an application to the Michigan Liquor Control Commission for a special liquor license to serve alcohol at the Emmett County Fair on August 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, 2024, and authorize the county administrator to sign the application and other documents required to obtain a special liquor license.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments on the motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'm very much against the promotion of liquor sales by Emmett County. I know it makes a lot of money for the county, but I think it opens up a lot of liability, too. So I'm going to have to vote no on that.
I had a comment. So I worked in the beer tent a couple of years, and one of the things that I really appreciated about it is sometimes they get some local performers to come in and do a show or something in the beer tent itself. It's nice to have that venue for people that might not have an opportunity to play in other places. Get some exposure for local artists. And I always found it to be quite pleasant.
To my knowledge, we've never had problems with it either. You know.
That's correct. And a lot of us sitting here do volunteer our time to work there too. It's well regulated. We have responsibilities that we have to follow through the Liquor Control Commission, and the group and the committee that's put together has done a nice job over the years that this has been available.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Commissioner Ginnup?
No.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Lothbaum?
No.
Motion carries. Next is a community corrections grant application.
This is a program that's been run for a number of years, and it's a setup of a staff person and a board that oversees the community correction programs, and it's a program that's set up for it's a way to offer programs to divert people from going to prison. We started with a new director last year. There's a lot of new programs being offered. The committee itself is made up of the three judges, the sheriff, prosecutor, attorneys, the public. So we have a good representation on the board that oversees the project. The grant for this year that we're asking for is $124,175, and that would offset the cost of the program. We need to come to before you, because before we can apply for the grant, we need your approval on that, and there's a resolution that needs to be adopted also.
Mr. Chairman, I can make the motion if you'd like. I move that the board adopt the attached resolution approving the fiscal year 2025 Community Corrections Plan application and direct that the plan application be sent to the Office of Community Corrections for approval and funding. Direct the county clerk to sign and keep record of the attached resolution and authorize the county administrator to sign any required documents on behalf of the Board of Commissioners.
Second.
Good motion, second. Mr. Boyer, is there any requirement that the resolution be read at the board?
No, it's published, and it will go along with the packet.
Any questions or discussion on the motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We voted on a similar program last year, and it passed with me voting no on it after I read what was in it. It's basically a legal agreement with the state of Michigan saying Emmett County is not going to send. Last year it was 17%, 17.5% of convicted violent criminals onto prison. And after it passed, I was so upset. I called some of the commissioners that had voted on it and I asked them why. And they said they did not read that part of it. They didn't know that was in there. But on this year, it has been converted down from 17.5% to 16% of convicted violent criminals. We can send no more than 16% of them onto state prison. And the people I've talked to in Emmett County are very much against this program.
Any other comments?
Is that accurate information, I would wonder?
Ultimately, it's the judge's decision on what happens with this program. They're the ones that make the decision. Would you like to come up?
Oh, yes, of course. Nicole Scott, Director for Community Corrections for Emmett County. I'm not certain where you're getting the information that we were only agreeing to that. Typically, when we present the information to the state of Michigan, we're setting goals and objectives for what we're hoping to achieve. Currently, this last fiscal year, we had a 33% prison commitment rate, which is fairly higher than the previous fiscal year. So one of the goals of the program is to reduce that by providing alternative programming to reduce that recidivism, not to just divert people from going, but to prevent further crime, prevent further victims by providing services locally to address needs and risk factors that contribute to that criminal activity. So that is, you know, in part why we are requesting funding for programming.
This is something that in a long term reduces risk of violent crime, is my understanding.
Correct. That is the plan, the idea. We do track recidivism rates through probation violations, new sentence, and technical violations every year. We also address various concerns with public safety through rigorous tracking of public safety rates for felony bond violations and those different types of practices to ensure that what we're providing is effective. We also have key performance measures that we provide for each program that allow us to track and see if it is effective, if we're affecting cognitive scoring, if we're affecting the mental state for people who are coming into our programming. So we are tracking to see if what we're doing is effective. It's still relatively new that we've been tracking it, albeit we do have a new program in place, but it is hoped that through continued operations, we can continue to have that impact locally.
So if we have reduced recidivism and reduced levels of violent crime going forward, and we're saving quite a bit of money by keeping people out of the prison system, it seems like a win-win to me. I just don't see a downside to this.
I would agree, sir.
Thank you.
I worked for years with people doing community service at the library, and I can't remember one person that had any violent issues. It was 99.9% alcohol violations. Okay, so and we have the new drug court too, and that's to help reduce further problems. And it's been a good. I think it's a good positive program.
So that is what we're talking about here is nonviolent offenders that you deal with.
We're talking about people who are housed locally. Traditionally, we have some individuals who are on the precipice of potentially going to prison or staying locally, and part of the program says let's try to address these problems locally rather than sending people to prison where they're not going to gain those local skills, those resources to maintain housing, maintain employment, maintain a healthier lifestyle. So one of the things we want to do is keep people locally to address local problems here. Now, if those people are violent, we may, at some point, if we're having a high rise in the prison commitment rate for that population or an issue with that population, the board would come together collaboratively and decide on a program that we might provide to reduce the likelihood of that continuing to be an issue. The goal being that we want to address whatever target population that the board sees as a need and fill any gaps in services that aren't currently available to people in Emmett County for that particular risk area. If that answers the question.
So I sit on this board, and there's support there from law enforcement, from probation officers, from judges, prosecutor. And these are people that know what's going on here in Emmett County with crime and with the court system and everything, and they seem to, I can't speak for them, but they seem very supportive when they're at the meetings.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any other further questions?
Mr. Chair, I think the gentleman had something to say. Did you have a comment? You were going to stand up?
Yeah.
Me? Yeah. Were you going to stand up and make a comment?
Oh, I can.
Okay.
Yeah. By the way, I'm Randy Claus. I'm a lieutenant with the Emmett County Sheriff's Office. Also run for sheriff. Anything that we think that will help stop or lessen recidivism. Got the word out. That's good. Anything like that, you know, that happen like that, we support. So we're also, you know, I'm into definitely I approve of drug diversion programs, you know, so we can stop a bunch of different areas of crime by diverting, you know, these troubled people. So, you know, I'm on board with it.
Any other comments from the board? Any questions? Andrew, please call the roll.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
No.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Motion carried. Next item on the agenda is a resolution extending the fixed rate millage tax allocation.
As you recall, I think it was at the last meeting, the meeting before you put together the tax allocation board. They did meet and have the recommendation before you tonight. Basically, stays the same as what we had 4 years ago. The county's maximum rate would be 5.6, townships 2 mils, and the intermediate school district at 0.02 mils. They were all at the meeting and all supported this moving forward. So tonight before you is the resolution to extend the current rates for the next 4 years.
Mr. Chair, I'll make
and it puts it on the ballot.
Go ahead, Mr.
I'll make that motion. I move that the board approve the attached resolution extending fixed millage for 4 years, 2025 through 2028 inclusive, or until altered by the voters of the County of Emmett, with tax limitations being set as follows. County of Emmett, 5.6 mils, townships, 2.0 mils, intermediate school district, 0.2 mils, for a total of 7.8 mils.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion or questions for Mr. Boyer regarding the resolution? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Next item on our agenda is a motion, is a resolution adopting ballot language for the EMS millage. Mr. Boyer?
Yes, this is language for EMS to continue the programs on from 2024 through 2028. It is at the same rate, 0.7 mils, and the previous millage that we had expired, and we have funding for the remainder of this year. This money provides for the operation. It provides for the equipment, for the advanced life support throughout the county. So our station's here in Mackinac, too.
Mr. Chair, I move the board approve the attached resolution adopting the EMS millage for 0.70 mils for 5 years, 24 through 28, inclusive, or until altered by the voters of the County of Emmett.
I'll second.
We have a motion to second. Any questions for Mr. Boyer or discussion on the motion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes. Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is the Headlands Dark Sky Park parking lot expansion. Mr. Boyer.
Yes. Headlands Dark Sky Park currently has parking for about 49 patrons, and as I think we all know, that on any good night there, that far exceeds people attending this, it far exceeds our parking lot currently. We have been working with our architect to design additional parking there. If you recall, through the Tri-State property swap, we received approximately $1 million to be put towards this project. We're taking 49 parking spots up to 172 parking spots. For the overflow parking right now, you must park out at the main entrance, and you're parking across the street, and it's about a mile walk in. This will eliminate that. It will eliminate the hazards, the potential hazards that we have with pedestrians and cars going out at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. The park is open up 24 hours, so we have people there all night long, especially on clear nights in the summertime. It's a safety concern that we have. It's a narrow road going in. It's a narrow road going out. And I think this will be a great improvement to the park.
Questions from Mr. Boyer?
Just curious, did Sperling come and talk to you after the fact? You know, they didn't attend the mandatory meeting, and they were the low bid, but did they?
They did not attend. It was a mandatory meeting. That site is quite unique, and where this parking lot goes, there's a lot, and that was a requirement to be at the mandatory meeting. They did not attend. And just remember, this is not coming out of taxpayers. This is not coming out of general fund. This was the revenues offset from the property swap with Tri-State.
What's your pleasure, gentlemen?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to state this motion.
Go ahead.
I move that the board award the bid to Sperling Trucking to complete the Headlands Dark Sky parking lot expansion in the amount of $733,000, pending a suitable contract to be determined by civil counsel, and authorize the administrator to sign the same on the condition that Sperling's Trucking attend a site visit, and if they do not, that the board award the bid to E.F. Wilkinson of Sheboygan in the amount of $847,000, $856.22, with an $84,000 contingency fund.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Comments?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I called Sperling Construction last night because they were a little better by almost $115,000, which is no small amount. And I asked Mr. Sperling, who's retired now, he's the founder of Sperling Trucking, why he did not attend the site visit. He said he has turned that over to his younger son, who's taken over the business affairs of Sperling Trucking, and he was on a ship in the middle of the ocean, and he could not attend that site visit. But they have no problems with coming to the site and talking to us there. And I'd like to add that Sperlings do have a very good reputation in northern Michigan. They work with the state of Michigan and Pelson School and a lot of places. They have a good reputation.
So there's a point where we have to respect the process, and we have to respect the work and that the staff puts into these things. And these processes are well thought through. They're there for a reason. And when we vary from these processes that we set up and ask people to follow, it opens up, it makes things loose, it makes things don't work as well. And I think when we have a staff that put this kind of effort into getting the bid process through, we need to honor that.
I've been involved writing proposals for for 35 years, and there's a good reason why you put articles in your bid process, such as a mandatory site visit, because you want to make sure all the bidders are on the same page. And if Sperling didn't see that that site with the rest of the bidders, then I think that he's not bidding apples to apples. So I would not recommend Sperling. Sperling does do very good work, by the way. But in this case, I don't think Sperling should be considered.
Any other comment?
I think Mr. Sperling does good work. He's been around for a long, long time. But we have a process for awarding those bids, and you need to follow the process. There's a reason, not a very good excuse for not being there.
Yes. Chairman, I could be wrong, but I don't recall us making that a mandatory condition of the bid if they had to attend the site and visit the site. I'm sure they have in order to place the bid, but just not. They have not informally with us, probably. But they are willing to do so.
It would be the report that I received from both staff and from the architect that was in. It was a mandatory site visit. So I would go through the, I can go through the bid specifications that are in here, but when we say a mandatory site visit, that's part of the process. That's what we want. We do that when we have projects that are unique like this, is you want everyone to see the same project. You want the architect to be able to explain it to them. We go through a vetting process when we make the selection on who we choose, both architect and the staff. Our consultants go through bid specifications and go through everything in there and vet these companies. We excluded that group because they were not at the mandatory meeting. We have not, staff has not, or architect has not looked at any of their credentials or reviewed it. I'm not saying they're a good company or bad company. We have a procedure that's in place.
Any other comments before I call for a motion? Roll call, please.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Which motion are we voting on?
The one that Mr. Lofbaum.
The one I made.
We had a second.
The one he made.
No.
Commissioner Gutowski?
No.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
No.
Commissioner White?
No.
Commissioner Koontz?
No.
Fails.
If I may, just for clarification, right on the cover letter, mandatory site visit Monday, March 11th, 2024, 10 o'clock. So it is right on the cover page of the bid document.
Thank you, sir.
Chair, I move that the board award the bid to E.F. Wilkinson & Sons to complete the Headlands Dark Sky Park parking lot expansion in the amount of $847,856.22 with an $84,000 contingency fund, pending a suitable contract to be determined by civil counsel and the administrator, and authorize the administrator to sign the same.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? Any discussions or questions? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
No.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
No.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Koontz?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes. Motion carries 5-2. Next item on the agenda is the inmate technology services, Mr. Boyer.
Yes, we currently have a system in place. The contract was up. The Sheriff's Department went out to bid. This provides inmate technologies. It provides a telephone system, inmate video visitation system, digital mail system, inmate electronic messaging. They also provided tablets. They check those out, and these companies provide those services. It's not a cost to us to provide the services. For the inmates there, they are charged a fee to use this. There's a small percentage that comes back to the county. When they went through this and evaluated, they were looking at what's best for the inmates and also coming back what is the best for the county. It's a switch from the current company. But the Sheriff's Department reviews each one of the proposals, the references, and are recommending to go with Smart Communications.
Any questions for Mr. Boyer? If none, looking for a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move the board award the bid to Smart Communications to provide comprehensive inmate communication technology in the Allen County Correctional Facility as proposed, pending a suitable contract to be determined by civil counsel and any administrator, and authorize the administrator to sign the same.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? Any questions? Roll call.
Commissioner Koontz?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Motion carries. Next is the 2024 Building Safety Month resolution.
Where do you want to come up real quick?
Sure. Good, you can read it.
I was afraid you might say that.
But I do have a copy with me.
Would you read it, please?
I will. So for several years, I've come to the board requesting the signature and approval of the board on a Building Safety Month proclamation. Building Safety Month was started by the International Code Council as a way for local jurisdictions to recognize the importance of what their building departments do in their community to make sure that our buildings and structures that are constructed are safe and built to a minimum standard of construction. So I will be glad to read this for you. Whereas Emmett County is committed to recognizing that our growth and strength depends on the safety and essential role of our homes, buildings, and infrastructures that serve our citizens, both in everyday life and when disaster strikes, and whereas our confidence in the resilience of these buildings that make up our community is achieved through the devotion of vigilant guardians, such as building safety and fire prevention officials, along with architects, engineers, builders, tradespeople, design professionals, laborers, and others involved in the construction industry, working cooperatively year-round to ensure the safe construction of buildings and structures, and whereas these guardians work with the International Code Council, a nonprofit that brings together local, state, territorial, tribal, and federal officials who are experts in the built environment to create and implement the highest quality codes to protect us in the buildings where we live, learn, work, play, and whereas our nation benefits economically and technologically from using the international codes that are developed by a national voluntary consensus codes and standards development organization, and on which the Michigan codes are based, our government is able to avoid the high cost and complexity of developing and maintaining these codes, which are the most widely adopted building safety and fire prevention codes in the world. Whereas these modern building codes include safeguards to protect the public from natural disasters and hazards such as hurricanes, snowstorms, tornadoes, wild land fires, floods, and earthquakes, as well as man-made disasters caused by substandard construction practices, and whereas Building Safety Month is sponsored by the International Code Council to remind the public about the critical role of our community's largely unknown protectors of public safety, our local code officials, whose role is to assure us of safe, sustainable, and affordable buildings that are essential to our prosperity. And whereas Mission Possible, the theme for Building Safety Month 2024, encourages us all to raise awareness of building safety for safe and sustainable construction, career opportunities in building safety, understanding disaster mitigation, energy conservation, and creating a safe and abundant water supply to all of our benefit, showing that code compliance is possible through cooperative efforts, and whereas each year, in observation of Building Safety Month, people all over the world are asked to consider the commitment to improve building safety, resilience, and economic investment at home and in the community, and to acknowledge the essential service provided to all of us by local and state building departments, fire prevention bureaus, and federal agencies to protect lives and property. Now, therefore, we, the Emmett County Board of Commissioners, do hereby recognize and proclaim the month of May 2024 as Building Safety Month. Accordingly, we encourage our citizens to recognize the importance of the code officials in their communities and the code officials' role of ensuring safe and code-compliant structures and buildings within their communities.
Thank you, sir.
Good job.
Anyone wishing to make a motion to that effect?
Mr. Chair, I move that the board approve the resolution of the Emmett County Board of Commissioners recognizing May as Building Safety Month in Emmett County and authorize chairman of the board to sign resolution on behalf of the entire Board of Commissioners.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing and hearing none, roll call.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
If you're going to have us read this again next year, I'll see if I can shorten it.
Thank the team, Marty, too.
Thank you very much. I thought that news was telling about people down in a lot of scam where people are going to their houses and want to put new roofs on for them, and I thought, hey, that won't happen in Denver County. We are now to that part of the agenda. You want me to turn it
over? You can turn this one over to Tammy.
Mrs. Dornberg brought her suitcase, so take it away, Tammy.
In case there are questions, thank you. Tonight I have several items for your consideration. The first one is PPUDF 24-01. Tim Davis is requesting a rezone of his property. He has a portion of his property that's located near the corner of Stutzmanville and State Road in Friendship Township that's already zoned planning and development, and it has storage buildings on it. In 2002, Friendship Township had petitioned the county to rezone a portion of that intersection for commercial development, and they had a PUD established there. And so this would expand that PUD to the entirety of Mr. Davis's property, excluding the north 50 feet of his property. And a PUD has a perimeter setback of 50 feet, and a neighbor to the north of Mr. Davis's property had suggested that he consider a deeper setback, and so he offered to decrease the area that he's proposing to be considered for the PUD. So that's what's before you tonight. The township did recommend approval, and Emmett County Planning Commission did recommend approval as well. And Mr. Davis, Tim Davis, is here if you have any questions for him.
Any questions for Mrs. Dornberg or Mr. Davis? If not, there's a motion before the commission.
Chair, make a motion to approve PPUD F 24-01, Tim Davis, rezoning properties 24-06-12-14-400-016 and 017 to extend the boundaries of an existing PUD as recommended by the Planning Commission as shown on updated PUD rezoning map dated received February 29th, 2024 to permit the uses as identified within the existing PUD on both parcels and to adopt the attached proposed ordinance agreement.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion or question? Roll call, please.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. The next PUD is a request by Michael Mass, PUD P24-01 at 7812 Sand Road in Maple River Township. This property is currently zoned farm forest, and Mr. Mass would like to conduct some engine repair on the property. It is consistent with other PUDs within Maple River Township on that side of US 31, the east side of US 31. The Maple River Township Board did recommend approval, and Emmett County Planning Commission recommended approval, and Michael Mast is here as well if you have questions for him.
You have a motion for commissioners?
Mr. Chair, this is a motion to approve PPUD 24-001, Michael Mast, for plan unit development rezoning to apply to the 10-acre property at 7812 Sand Road in Maple River Township and to adopt the attached draft ordinance.
Second.
I'll let you pick, Andrew. Any discussion on the motion? Any questions from Mrs. Dornberg or Mr. Mass? Seeing none, roll call.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Thank you. The next three text amendments and rezoning requests are kind of tied together. So I'll start with number 12, parking transition. So in Emmett County, in Bear Creek Township, we have 17 parcels that are zoned parking transition, all located on the southerly side of Old Tannery Creek. It's the only property within all of Emmett County's own PT, parking transition. In 2022, we hired our current law firm to assist us with reviewing our entire zoning ordinance. And I have the memo that was first created by our legal counsel. Kristen Klobos helped us with these amendments. And her one question was, why do we have this parking transition zone and can we combine it with something else? So we started that process about a year ago, notifying all the property owners, asking them if they had a problem with us rezoning their property to R2, general residential. And we did have one property owner who owned four parcels came to the meeting and said he opposed that. So then we revisited all the uses within the parking transition zone and the B1 zoning district and found that they were very compatible. And in the packets, if you look those over, you could see there's very few differences between parking transition and B1. So our proposal is to rezone the portions of those properties that are zoned parking transition to B1. But in doing so, the township asked that we also look at the B1 zoning district and add some additional uses that are currently allowed in PT, but not in B1, and also add a standard that if you have a commercial use across the road from a residential use, that you have screening so that the residence is not impacted negatively by the commercial use. So part one would be the changes to the B1 zoning district that were requested by the township and by the Planning Commission. Part two, item number 13 on the agenda, is revoking the PT zoning district, but that can only be done if we have no more parcels zoned PT. So they're in the order that they would need to be adopted, but part one would be the text amendment to the B1 zoning district. Number 12 would be the rezoning of the parking transition district to B1, and then number 13 would be revoking or repealing the parking transition zoning district, Article 13 of the zoning ordinance. And I'm here to answer any questions if there are questions regarding that.
Would you have to do each one individually?
Yes, each parcel, 17 of them, yes, please.
Any questions for Mrs. Dorfer?
Oh, no. Yes, each item individually, but not each parcel.
Not each parcel, each item.
So we need a motion on part one.
Chair, I'll make a motion to approve PP Text 24-01, Part 1, Emmett County Planning Commission to amend Article 10 by adding the following as permitted uses: P, A, parking lots, off-street, and accessory loading areas as a main use / parking structures, B, uses that are an expansion of existing business properties from an adjoining B2 district, C, multiple family dwellings, D, triples, quadplex, and E, as a permitted use with supplemental regulations, P, asterisk, accessory dwelling units, section 26.37, also to amend the intent statement and add section 10.03, require conditions.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any questions on the motion or what's before us? Seeing none, roll call.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes. Now we go to the middle part of this.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion to approve PREZN 23-02 to rezone all properties within Emmett County Zone PT parking transition to B1 local tourist business and to adopt the attached draft ordinance.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any questions or discussion on this motion? Roll call.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Motion carries. Now, part two.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion to approve PPTEXT 24-01, Part 2, Emmett County Planning Commission, to repeal Article 13, Parking Transition, and adopt the draft ordinance.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on Part 2 motion? Seeing and hearing none, roll call.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. The next case on your agenda is PP Text 24-02, and that is an amendment to Article 21. Essentially, it's just cleaning up the language and providing for the process for any special land uses that are proposed to the Planning Commission. So it amends pretty much the entire section, words here and there, and then adds some changes to the procedures that we currently have in place. It would allow for additional time for staff to review special land use requests and provide time for us to advertise as required by the state statute for that. And again, it was reviewed by legal counsel. Three townships that recommended approval are Bear Creek, Springvale, and Littlefield. All the other townships that have county zoning didn't respond to our inquiry, and the Emmett County Planning Commission recommended approval.
We have a motion for Ms. Commissioner.
Chair, I make a motion to approve PP Text 24-02, Emmett County Planning Commission, to amend Article 21 and to adopt the attached draft ordinance.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion on PP Text 24-02 and the motion? Roll call.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Two more, Tammy.
Thank you. Article 27 is the administration section of the ordinance, how we handle ourselves as zoning administrators, and then how we handle the processes that we are required to go through for different types of zoning requests. It did eliminate the rehearing process, which is not mandatory by the Zoning Enabling Act, so that's something I think that it's a really good thing. Again, the townships that recommended approval are the same, and no townships opposed, and the Planning Commission recommended approval.
So, Mr. Chair, I move to approve PPTEXT 2403, Emmett County Planning Commission, to amend Article 27 and to adopt the attached draft ordinance.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion or questions regarding PP Text 2403?
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Motion carries.
And finally, Articles 16 and 17. We currently have two planned unit development articles within our zoning ordinance. And again, legal counsel, this time with Steve Jopic taking the lead. We reviewed Article 16 at length, and then we decided that really Article 17 and 16 could be combined into one article. And the process then would be the same regardless of what type of planned unit development, whether it's commercial or residential. Also, we added some density bonuses to encourage housing and height bonus in certain instances that would encourage taller buildings but also additional housing. That was the goal there. So extensive review by legal counsel, recommended for approval by those townships that recommended, and recommended for approval by Emmett County Planning Commission.
Any questions?
I'll make the motion, Mr. Chair, to approve PPTEXT 24-4, Emmett County Planning Commission, to amend Article 16 and repeal Article 17 and to adopt the attached draft ordinance.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You made it. Next, that's the end of our new business. We are now into appointments. We have an appointment. We have two applications for the Construction Resource Committee. What's the Commission's pleasure?
I would move to appoint Aaron Cummings to the Construction Resources Committee.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second to appoint Aaron Cummings to the Construction Resource Board. Any discussion?
Are either one of them here tonight?
No, sir.
Okay.
Any other discussion or questions? Roll call.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
That is the end of items for adoption. There are now any communications, Mr. Holmeyer? committee reports. Commissioner Lofbaum, would you start, please?
Okay, this is from the Emmett County Planning Commission that was held April 4th. And we first case on the agenda was Patricia Stewart, special use permit. Applicant requested postponement, so we did not take any action other than honor her request. Second case was Kyle Wright for Wright Holdings, LLC, special use permit for Anderson Road, Bear Creek Township. That was passed. Next case was Troy Bosker for Jason and Suzanne Buma, special use permit, accessory building as a main use and exception, Turpentine Road in Friendship Township. That was postponed. Next case, Matthew Terrio, special use permit, accessory building exception, Valley Road, Littlefield Township, was passed. Next case was Michael Mass, that was here tonight, that we voted on. Planned unit development on Sand Road in Maple River Township. That was passed. Next case was the Emmett County Planning Commission, all PT parking transition districts, properties to be one local tourist business, Bear Creek Township. That was passed. Next case was Emmett County Planning Commission text amendment. While there are several of these text amendments that we also passed here tonight, We supported all those. And the last case on the agenda was John Donald Jude, site plan review for auto repair shop across from the Pelson Airport in McKinley Township. And that was postponed for the third time. And we did a moment of silence for Tom Fairburn Sr., a veteran on the board many years ago. And also a member of the board for many years. And then my Emmett County Pelston Regional Airport Committee meeting was held Tuesday, March 26th, 9:30 a.m. We also did a moment of silence there for Tom Fairburn Sr. The chairman of our board there is Tom Fairburn Jr., so he appreciated that. The airport manager reported fuel sale reports are up 20%. Jet A was up 26%. Passengers were up 20% for the year, probably due to larger planes. And there was reported training on the new rescue truck. And then 2 days ago, I met with the Mackinac City Local Revenue Sharing Board at 3:30 in the afternoon on Tuesday, April 16th. And the third member of the board was appointed to the board. His name is Jeff Kurth, C-U-R-T-H. Chairman was reappointed, Scott Newman. We approved the agenda in the minutes from the previous meeting. There was no public comment, no communications. We did a distribution of funds in the amount of $129,513.25. Distribution of excess funds is going to go forward to the next meeting. And after the meeting, I had an informal discussion with the other two members that were there. They told me the windmills in Mackinac City are going to come down. Mackinac City is trying to sell them, but they have found no buyers yet. And they may be replaced with solar panels. And Mackinac City does own that property there where those windmills now stand. And also he told me about a Line 5 station on US 2 just west of St. Ignace. Sounds like he visited it recently. He said it was state-of-the-art. He was really excited about it. And he says that they have the ability to shut down Line 5 should there be any leaks in the Straits area. They can shut it down on the north side or the south side or both sides at once to keep very little spill from coming out if it should develop a leak. And he said tours are available of this facility, and I'm trying to arrange a tour right now, and I'm kind of wondering if there's any other board members that would be interested in going up there and touring that facility.
Yes, sir.
I've done so already.
Okay.
It is very impressive.
Okay, I'm going to try to arrange that in the future here shortly and get back to all of you.
Thank you.
And that's my report for tonight.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Aarons.
Okay, Chair. Veterans Board met on April 3rd at 4 p.m. at the Epler EMS station. We went over the office statistics for the first quarter. We reviewed the budget. We talked about events and outreach that our office is doing. And we discussed the first quarter of 2023 Fallen Heroes, which I will read now. In January, Richard W. Crick, Donald K. Osborne, John R. Bennett, Alexander Burchek, forgive me if I pronounce that wrong. February is George A. Vargo, Nicholas X. Carey, Jack J. Hersha, Bernard D. Kelso, Gordon B. Neff, Ronald R. Irwin, Francis P. Larkin, Frank W. Wiklansky. And in March, we lost Dr. William Millar, a longtime dentist in the area here. And in April, he was just a part-time Emmett County resident, my father-in-law, James Gowans, the Air Force vet, on April 2nd. Chuck already gave the Planning Commission. That was one I missed due to illness. ZBA met April 16th. We had one hearing because the only other one on the agenda was withdrawn. We heard on PZBA-003, David Mitchell, for a setback variance, which was denied due to not meeting requirements for the ZBA to approve. We have some laws that we have to follow and requirements in granting these variances, and we only have zero flexibility with those rules. Land Bank met on 3/24. We discussed the Maple Block Flats and the progress on that. And I was informed by Tammy the other night that the state's approved all the grants and such, and they're moving forward. We're still moving forward on that. So that's great. Going to get that site cleaned up. Let's see. TAC meeting, I'll leave that for you, Chair. Northern Michigan Counties doesn't have a meeting this month because of the MAC conference at the end of the month. And that's my report.
Thank you, Mr. Mapes.
Okay, April 2nd, the Board of Health met at 10 a.m. We heard a report from our auditors. It turned out to be a very good report. As a department, we came out very well according to the report because of the quality of information that was provided to the auditors. It helped them get, they were able to approve and finish the audit much sooner than other health departments in our region. We heard and reviewed reports from various departments. The director in his report touched on what is going on legislatively regarding statewide wastewater permits. He also reviewed local public health accreditation process that the department is going through right now and states that they are doing very well, being over halfway through the process. The committee reports and Finance Committee approved payments of the bills. The Program and Evaluation Committee approved a grant to Otsego County for seatbelt education. And being no unfinished business or new business, the meeting was adjourned at 11:15. The DPW met on April 4th at 8:30 after approving the minutes and financials. We received an operations update. Part 115, the Solid Waste Ordinance regional meeting was hosted in March in Petoskey and was well attended. Most of you are probably already going to hear, remember Andy in her presentation mentioned a lot of this stuff, but I'll keep going. Most of you already heard from, so under personnel, there was a part-time composter operator hired for the summer and fall months. to try and manage the roast of compostable material and keep the tip log cleared of debris. They also have an offer accepted to fill a seasonal DPW attendant position that they have every summer. Three bids were received for consultants from the solid waste planning, and RRS was approved as the low bidder. And they're still looking for drop site availability in the downtown Petoskey area. The Rural Commission met on April 12th, which was a real barn burner. Probably that was their longest meeting that I've ever attended because they missed two or three prior.
Three.
And there was a lot of bill vouchers and payroll vouchers approved. During public comment, a resident on Resort Park Road requested a guardrail on his section of the road, and he is referring to the section of the road on Resort Pike where the Oaks of Walloon exits onto that road there. I guess there are some pretty, my kids live up there, and there are some pretty deep and steep drop-offs there, and also the school bus stops at the bottom of that hill. They explained to him what the process is for railings, and he needs to get in line, apparently is what they told him. Under unfinished business, the Anderson Road driveway project was approved right in and right out for the department development that's going on there at that site. Under new business, there was a lot of projects discussed and approved, among them a Maplewood Road paving project and a countywide chip and seal project, among many that we report that are approved. Staff reports some upcoming retirements with a new driver starting soon and a new speed limit law that will possibly affect some of our county roads. Tried to attend the Networks Northwest meeting Wednesday via Zoom, and I could not get the sound to work, and it was on their end. They apologized. Bay Bluffs, this morning, Bay Bluffs met at 8 a.m. Expenses are under budget, was report for, and also there's nine new employees that have been hired since the end of the quarter, during the first quarter of the year. Lisa states that she's working with county staff to preserve the millage money by reclassifying some projects as routine maintenance. Is that true? Okay, never mind. There is an audit underway, and it's coming to a conclusion soon, and it's looking good. As of today, there are 67 residents with a total bed count approved by Medicare totaling 70. She is looking for five more hires needed to fill the remaining beds. The emergency operations plan is about finished and will be handed over to Matt, our emergency operations manager, for final review, who's been working with her throughout the entire project. Job fairs are coming up with the opportunity to hire additional staff, and the college has another full class of CNAs coming up, which will help. And that does a report.
Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. So I attended Pam Woodward's retirement party at the 911 operation and congratulated her. And that was on the 15th of March, right after 14th board meeting, and right after that meeting, there was a swearing in for two new officers. One was Matt Listern's daughter, believe it or not, and another young gentleman, new officers coming into the county, working for the county. And believe it or not, that's it for me.
Kadowski.
All right. I was not able to attend the Parks and Rec or the DPW. DPW was covered by Don, and we'll let Dave cover the Parks and Rec. The airport meeting, just tying into what Chuck said, that was held the 26th of March. We did discuss the reduction of the taxiway from the current 50 feet down to 35 feet via a grant approved in 2022, which is supposed to take place soon. An environmental assessment is being conducted for tree removal northeast of the runway approach close to McKinley Township Hall, just north of the hall. We learned that fuel saves were they were up in February, but they're still down for general aviation fuel. Airline jet fuel and 100 LL fuel sales are up for the year. Passenger count was up 20% for the year. Mainly because of the larger planes that are coming in. And discussion that was had regarding requesting early AM flights to start prior to April 15th because there is a need for locals to have that option in March. We didn't have a fairground meeting in the month of April. I did attend the MAC Transportation Committee via Zoom. It was a presentation regarding high-speed internet throughout the state. by Barnaby Pung from Merit Network, and there are grants available for communities throughout the state. One of the slides he had was high-speed internet coverage of all the counties in the state, and Emmett County fares pretty good compared to a lot of counties. Road funding was still a very hot topic in the state of Michigan. We heard from our director, MAC director. Current funding situation to the fuel tax and vehicle registration fees are not keeping up with the cost of road upgrades. And a long discussion was held on vehicle miles traveled as the most likely way to capture the proper revenues for future road improvements, especially for electrical vehicles and hybrids due to not pay the same as gasoline and diesel vehicles. More than half the states in the country are looking at or have already adapted a vehicle miles traveled concept for paying for road improvements. And there's a big consortium on the northeast side of the country. There's, I think, 14 states that are adopting a pilot program to try it out this year. So it's coming. I did attend the MTA meeting last night. They had a presentation on the election and all the rules. A lot of the clerks were there, all the township clerks and supervisors. And the 9 days of early voting only produced 0.81% of the vote in Emmett County, which a lot of they got to be open 8 hours a day, and a lot of times they just sat around twiddling their thumbs during that 8 hours, but it's mandatory. However, there is a lot of safeguards that have been implemented since the ballot proposal, Proposal 2, was passed. So hopefully there's a lot less questionable election interference in these future elections. So that's my report.
The Emmett County Brownfield Redevelopment Authority met on April 15th regarding the loss of at Lumber Square. There was a higher amount of contaminated soil to be removed than previously expected. A motion was passed to adjust the budget, transferring $121,447 from non-environmental eligible activities to environmental eligible activities. And a second motion was passed to allow the developer's consultant to apply for an Eagle Brownfield grant in the amount of $400,000 to offset environmental response activities. The Emmett County Correction Advisory Board met, the Community Corrections Advisory Board on April 11th, met, and accepted the first and second quarter reports and approved the grant application for 2025, which just came before us and the Board of Commissioners here. And we also met our new member, Sean Madigan, who was recently appointed by this board. So that's the report on that.
My report, Area on Aging met on April 4th in Traverse City. The main discussion was there's guardianship legislation that's being considered in Lansing. Currently, most guardians in Michigan are paid for work, and they work for companies that do guardianship as a for-profit business. So they're getting some pushback in Lansing regarding guardianship legislation. I'll give the board more information as it becomes available. I'd like to thank Chuck and Brian for the Pelson Airport. One thing I'd like to mention is we have TSA lease renewal coming soon and a selection for a consultant coming soon. Park Board met at Camp Pedasiga in the newly remodeled recreation room with a new floor and painting and ceiling. It looks great. We received updates on the opening. As soon as the weather decides what it wants to do, they'll be turning the water on. The Crooked Lake Locks this year will have a generator and restroom facilities on site and also have water available. They have started lowering the gates to work on the lake levels. We were also given an update on what's called a life jacket loaner project that's moving forward. Mr. Boyer seems to know a little bit about that as we move forward. And the parks director handed out goals in for the future, which will be discussed at a future meeting. I also wished Ms. Woodbury a happy retirement. The CCE board met in a special meeting on April 3rd to approve a wage adjustment for the interim director. At the meeting, a succession plan was adopted that will be put in place if the interim director is unavailable. What steps will we take? The CCE board will be meeting on April 29th to review and approve the new software contract that has been in process for the last few years. On April 11th, the TAC committee met and adopted a new policy regarding Lien. Lien is the system that's used to provide criminal information to the road, to our officers. They had to pass a new policy that it will now be encrypted, and that will be going out to all the law enforcement agencies. The LEPC met on April 3rd also and received an update on the hazard mitigation plan that Networks Northwest is working on for the county. Mr. Kuntz covered the Brownfield Redevelopment Authority. Mr. Mapes also covered the long agenda for the road commission. They also adopted a purchase of a wood chipper and a new crew truck. And the board discussed replacement of guardrail on M119. I had to leave the meeting early for some personal business, and Mr. Mapes covered it well. And that is my report. Is there anything else from any of the commissioners? Hearing none, we are now to the point of the agenda for the second time for public comment. Anyone wishing to address the board, please come forward. You have 3 minutes. Please state your name.
Just a point of clarification for Michigan Maple Block. Michigan Strategic Fund through MEDC did approve that project. We still have to receive approval from Eagle and MISHDA for the Brownfield plan. So that's still in the works. That has not yet been approved, but it's been submitted for approval last week. So hopefully we'll get that approval soon. But you should start to see some demolition within the next 10 to 15 days on the Michigan Maple Block project. And you should start to see some construction on the lofts at Lumber Square within the month.
Did drive by there Monday evening, and there was a couple city fire trucks. They had the electrical truck. Looked like they were disconnecting some electrical wires. The police department was there. Looked like they were going through the buildings to make sure there was nothing in the way. And so there is progress being made there.
Super.
And Maple Block.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was Tammy Dornberg.
Yep. Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to come before the board? Hearing none, the announcements. The next Board of Commissioner meeting will be held on May 6th, well, in May already, at 6 p.m. here in the Board of Commissioners Room, 200 Division Street, Petoskey. Looking for a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
I'll second. And motion a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
Thank you.
You know, each of those flags is a